This is CliffCentral.com. It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Lorraine. Laughter Therapy with Lorraine Maisel. Haven't been around for a while. Dunks, how long has it been now? About a month, eh?
It's been too long, Lorraine.
Oh, bless your soul. Here we go again. I've got a bit of a crush on him, just saying. So, yeah, it's good to be back at Cliff Central with my family. I'm able to talk and chat and talk about life and what's been going on and what's been going on with me. So, yeah, so life is going on. Things are happening. I have been in Cape Town for 3 weeks, Duncan. It's been very nice. I was working there. It was so nice driving to work in the morning, and I would just have the mountain on my right-hand side and the ocean on my left-hand side.
Mm. Sounds like white privilege to me.
You have just hit the nail on the head.
Correct.
Excuse the pun, but let me just say something to you. That was a hard blow. I have somebody in the studio today who is actually going to have a discussion about white privilege.
Really?
So you, and you didn't even know this.
I didn't.
So you have really going to, this discussion between the three of us is going to be quite interesting. No, I don't think it's white privilege. I think it's hard work. somebody who's worked her ass off, yeah, her butt off, to actually go and drive to work in Cape Town.
You mean someone who was given the opportunity to work hard and do all that stuff?
It doesn't mean that I haven't got a degree. I haven't got education. I've got a standard 8. There's all of these things that you have to take into consideration. I might be white, but please believe me, Duncan, privileges I didn't have. I was working at 16. Mm. Just saying, hashtag. Yeah, look at you shaking your head. So,
yeah.
Mark Wood, hello. Welcome Hi. To the studio, Mark.
Thank you. Really, really good to be here. Meet all these great people.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. The Cliff Central team is such an amazing family team. It's such a great energy between everybody in the studio. Bless. So, Mark is a good friend of mine, and we went out for breakfast on Sunday morning. And we started having a conversation. And I just hadn't seen him for months and years. And I just thought, hang on, I just need to connect with this man. And I bumped into him about 3 months ago. It was about 2 months ago. Where was it? Is it so yum, hey?
Yeah, first of all, I just have to say that if anyone hasn't seen you for a long time, they need to see you now. Because when I did bump into you, I didn't recognize you because you've gone through a transformation of your own. And anyone knows Lorraine, if you have a look at her now, she looks incredible. She really does. She's looking amazing.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. That's very nice. That's nice to hear. So we bumped into him and he didn't recognize me. And then I said, please take me on a date. Like hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And then he kicked him in the ball, said to him, come, take me on a date. But no, I didn't hear from Mark. Obviously, he's busy. So what do? I go, Saturday morning, I'm lying there and I'm thinking in bed of Mark. And I'm thinking,
it happens.
Yeah, often. So I'm lying there and I'm thinking, I need to get in contact with this person that we would party together. We were like in a crowd of friends. And then every so often, Mike and I would sit on a couch somewhere at one of our friends' houses and we would have these intellectual, in-depth conversations. And that's what it really boils down to, is that deep conversation that him and I used to have together that showed us that there was something more of a connection on a spiritual level. That's what I'm going to say, on an energy level. So we sat and had a conversation, and Mark has changed jobs and moved and has started an incredible foundation called Believe. B-E-E. Leave. So Duncan,
wait. Is this? Are you saying BEE should leave, or are you saying believe? I'm trying to understand.
Nice one. No, I'm definitely
Duncan's
saying,
very sharper.
I'm definitely saying believe. As it happens, I don't believe that BEE should leave.
Believe in BEE?
I believe in BEE. I'm a proponent. I believe it should stay. But the name B Stay had been taken, so I took B Leave.
Nice.
So I wanted to sit down and I just want to have a conversation with you, Mike. I just want to sit down here and chat to you about where did this come from? How did you start this? Why did you give up everything in the advertising world and in production and just decide this is what I want to do? I want to give back to this country and I want to give back to and the black and the white people of this country, because I said the same thing and I've said it to Duncan before, is that for me, the color of your skin is exactly that. It's a pigmentation of our skin. We are exactly the same inside. I have got the same stomach, the same organs, the same everything as any other person, whether you be Chinese, black, white, pink, green, or orange. So I want you to tell us what that is about. What does this black and white struggle is?
So firstly, believe isn't a foundation. It is a it's not a non-for-profit. It's not a community initiative. It's very proudly a for-profit business, because I believe that in order to effect real change, you need to do good business. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I just want to add some form of disclaimer up front here, because I know that we are potentially delving into some sensitive areas and sensitive topic, and that is that I very much regard myself as a student of this country. I'm not for one minute am an authority on this subject. It is something that I believe very passionately about and that I really buy into, and as a result I'm doing what I'm doing. But I don't regard myself as a self-proclaimed authority. I may well say things that will create offense, use the wrong terminologies. I don't know. We've still got a long way to go with regards to dialogue. Because dialogue in this country is very sensitive, and I think one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be here is we really need to open up dialogue and be unafraid to open up dialogue, even if it is controversial, because that's what's going to be necessary to start breaking down these barriers.
Communication. That's what it's about. It's amazing. I mean, I'm in PR, and as I'm listening to you, so I'm thinking to myself, I think that's the vital part for us as people, as humans, to be communicating with each other. Because if we're not communicating each other in a beautiful, positive way, I mean, I had this conversation with you that I didn't agree with them burning art and people walking around and doing, like making a stand in a way that for me was taking other people's emotions away. That for me wasn't okay. Turn around and say, you know what, this is not okay. Let's have a discussion. Let's find a way forward for all of us as humans. And you came and you said something to me
I mean, I think what's happening, and again, these are my observations, which get backed up daily. But I think what's happening is that there's obviously there's a growing resentment in this country, on both black and white sides, and we have a polarization of black and white, and I really believe that we're moving further away, not closer together. And post the transition from apartheid to democracy, I think we've actually moved further away. And I think that's part of the problem. And that polarization is fueled by on the white side by fear of loss.
Yeah.
And I think the important thing is to understand what white fear is, because white fear is mocked to some degree, understandably. But it's really important to understand what that is and what it's made up of. And on the other hand is black entitlement, and the word entitlement somewhat controversial as well. Maybe expectation is a better word to use. But those are the nuclei, if you like, of those poles that are created, sort of launching rockets at each other, because fear is launching rockets at entitlement and entitlement at fear and so on. And they're feeding each other. And all the stuff that's going on in this country, the economy, politics, dissatisfaction with the government, whatever it may be, is fueling that divide. As it happens, BEE is one of those components that is fueling that divide. And it's so much of that is really about understanding. So you spoke about communication and understanding earlier. This is a very serious topic for laughter, Laura.
No, it is. We are on the right track, absolutely.
Do I need to throw a joke in the middle? No.
Well, I'll throw a joke in just now. You know, I just want people to know what you're doing and what the and what this is about, because I think there's a huge possibility for a lot of listeners and a lot of people that can benefit from this. So I think if I have a look at my
journey, and since I come out of the more recently, I mean, as you mentioned, I've had a few jobs. I've been slightly schizophrenic, actually, and my CV looks very jumbled.
But I don't think so. You're not a young man, and we all have those jumbled CVs. Okay. Give yourself some credit.
No, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Bless your soul. Thanks.
But I think more recently I've spent the last 10 years or so in the advertising and marketing industry. And I left that about 2 years ago to embark on contributing back to this country. And that sounds very fluffy bunny and altruistic. It's not that at all. It was just I felt that my inherent talents were better put to use elsewhere. And my first foray into this, I joined a business called the Aweta Project. And working with them, it really opened my eyes to some of the realities in this country. One of them is the reality of white privilege. I hesitate to sound revolutionary about this whole thing, but white privilege is something we don't understand as white people. And as it happens, black people also don't understand white privilege. Their understanding of white privilege is probably give it a little bit more cred than it deserves in some instances, and they overestimate the extent of white privilege. But again, that's human nature. It's because of this lack of understanding. And we as white people underestimate the value of white privilege. So what I mean by that is black businesses almost they start on the back foot because there's an expectation that they are going to fail.
Completely.
When white people deal with black people in business, there is an undercurrent of distrust. And they're almost waiting for them to fail and going, you see?
Told you so.
This BEE thing doesn't work, etc., etc. What we've really got to realize is the full extent of the privilege that we have had as white people. Mm. And what I mean by that is not just education, having food on the table, etc., etc. It's not just that. It's about legacy. So we have
traditions.
We have a legacy of business that has spanned hundreds of years, and that is infused over into different generations.
We are talking South Africa here.
We're talking about South Africa.
Yeah. But, okay.
Dinner table conversations have been passed down around, business discussions and high level discussions, high level thinking based on the base that we've had. Sitting at the dinner table, my father always had his own.
Father had.
I just got a message here that I have to move my car.
Can we move it for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark, where did you park your car?
The white guy is going to drive.
No, we want the black guy to do it. Please. Sorry.
So I think that, when I grew up sitting at the table, we spoke business. We spoke, from as young as I can ever remember. And there's a level of legacy that speaks to white privilege that we've had. And we forget about that. For the most part, any black business ownership was informal sector, spaza shop or whatever it may be. And a lot of the expectations that we have of black businesses and black business people are unrealistic. These businesses are failing not because they're black, and this is the important thing. They're failing because they're new. They've only just sat down at this table. There's a legacy of experience that is lacking, and we have to adjust our expectations around that.
And do you think people don't give them a chance? Do you think people actually go, well, hang on a sec, you know, there's a lot of judgment as you arrive at that meeting straight away?
Totally. I mean, I think we have this immediate expectation that apartheid's gone, we've got BEE, well, come on, then we should all be in the same place, and we're not allowing for legacy. And it's not about living in the past, and it's not about harping on about apartheid, but the other thing we have to appreciate is that the legacy of apartheid and inequality in this country is going to last for a long time. It's not something that we can fix overnight, and we actually haven't even started doing the work yet, to be frank. The transition from apartheid to democracy has largely been driven by policy and by legislation. There's been very little in the way of hearts and minds transitions, initiatives that govern the hearts and minds transitions. We haven't been educated as to how to deal with each other. We are so fundamentally different. And the way that I often like to look at it is it's almost like we're in an arranged marriage, where we didn't know each other.
From Russia and Hong Kong. Yeah, you know, and trying to put that together, trying to put those traditions and those...
Two completely different backgrounds. Yeah.
But wait, what did you say? Because we are all human beings, we should have a common understanding of each other.
Right. So, but what we can't ignore is the fact that we culturally, heritage-wise, etc., we come from very, very different backgrounds.
So does a Zulu person and a Xhosa person. But they also struggle to coexist. So I think the problem mainly is just human beings just don't like each other.
Yeah, but I agree with you. And we have, I mean, look at English and Afrikaans. There's a whole history of strife there as well. So it's not only about black and white. And I think that black and white almost becomes a bit of a metaphor for just humans in general as well, and humans that are different, even men and women. So if you ever look at this arranged marriage analogy, we agreed to this marriage. We decided that we needed to be married. We decided that it was for the better of this country and for the better of the people. But we knew nothing about each other. So we came together in a marriage, and 20 years later, we have complete lack of understanding of each other, and we need marriage counseling, is the truth. We need counseling to try and bring us back together again. And that's really about understanding. And I've been through my fair share of marriage counseling. I haven't been married, but I've mock charged before. I've been engaged twice, and I've been through some serious marriage counseling or couples counseling. And really, the fundamental part of that is understanding. If you understand where the other person is coming from, then you indict them less. And that's what we're lacking, is understanding of where the other side is coming from. And I mean, I don't like to use the word side.
If we're looking at marriage counseling, how? I mean, yes, I agree with you. I mean, we all have these different backgrounds. It's all over the world. It's all over it's everywhere. But here in South Africa, where we live, where we have to live our day-to-day lives and exist, what is that marriage counseling? How do we all sit down around a round table and actually have marriage counseling? How do we actually take that and then action it? Because that's really the most important. We could all sit down and have these conversations for years and years and years and years, and 20 years down the line, we've just chatted and talked, but nobody's actioned. Nobody's actually taken the action and done anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I think that we're almost sort of sitting back waiting for government to do this. That's never going to happen. We really need to take responsibility for ourselves now. We need to start opening up that dialogue, as I said to you. So with some degree of safety. The problem is that the race war has really sort of taken to social media now, and it gets very ugly. And it doesn't allow for us to express ourselves, which I think that's the first start. Whether it's controversial or not, you need to be able to express yourself, and you need to have your views challenged, but in a healthy way, because that's when we start thinking about stuff.
Well, that's when you got me thinking at this breakfast on Sunday morning. You really got me thinking about, you know, I am a white privileged person, and I've never looked at myself as that before. You know, yes, yeah, you're right, Duncan. You know,
The thing about white privilege, you know, if I speak to my contemporaries about racism, we all regard ourselves as progressive, if you like, and you know, people would be horrified. Certainly, my contemporaries would be horrified if you called them racist. And the truth is that there is a difference between, I believe, between racism and classism, and I think we confuse the two.
I agree.
I think if we look at, unfortunately, the face of prosperity in this country is still white, and that's part of the inequality battle that we're fighting. The face of poverty and the face of crime is still black. Now, those are things that we have to try and break down. But if we look at this classism theory, you associate with people closest to your class structure. Mm.
No,
and,
absolutely.
And we find different classes quite abrasive. So mixing with a different class, right? You find that abrasive. And because the majority of the working class in this country is still black, we confuse that. Like, is that racism or is that classism? So, you know, I think these are, I don't know what the exact answer is, but that's
there's
a discussion.
No answer.
Point,
there's
right?
Absolutely. That's the discussion. I keep getting pointed. Not yet. Okay. So, tell me. I mean, I'm just trying to look at me as a person, you know, as a human being. And having that discussion with you made me look at myself a little bit mad. And I'm going. I wanna hug that person on the street. That's a beggar or a. Or a guy that puts your car in the traffic and tries to show you how to park your parkings and things like that and I've shaken people's hands and I've had conversations with them because I've never looked at it as me being privileged, and it really opened my eyes this week and thinking about it, and that's why I asked you to come on the show, because I really looked at it and I went into myself and looked at me and said, Law, you need to take a good hard look at yourself and see what you've offered this country.
See, the thing about white privilege, Law, is that what we forget is that we've come off the back of 50 years of one of the biggest affirmative action programs in the world.
Absolutely.
And that was called apartheid.
They fucked it up. Now we have to fix it up.
And we are now dealing with the product of our ancestors, and we've got to deal with it. We can't just shrug it off and go, we didn't do it. We're a part of it, whether we like it or not. And the thing about white privilege is also recognizing, there's almost like a different definition of racism. So racism for us standing around the braai is, you know, when you refer to black people, you do it in air commas.
Mm,
you know, you
kind of go, they.
Black people and they. And we finally started calling the gardener as opposed to the garden boy. And that's not now absence of racism. Really what we've got to exercise is the understanding of what white privilege means and how do we put that to good use.
That's it. It's action. It's about taking it to that good use and working at it as a team of human beings. That's a good way of putting it.
Absolutely.
We all, and it's a team. It's a team of human beings just taking it together, understanding each other's culture, understanding each other's language barrier, and also being able to. I think this sounds so airy fairy as well, Mark, and it's something that I've really worked with through most of my life is acceptance of each other. You know, that person that lives next to you who happens to be a Khoza or a Sotho or a Zulu who actually goes and slaughters a cow next to you in your house in Parkhurst, what's the difference to that for me as a Jewish woman having a Friday night Shabbos where we're all singing and we're all like chanting or whatever, or lighting candles or whatever the case might
be?
Absolutely. What is the difference between the two?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you ever look at the white acceptance, if you like, of black people, we'll say, oh no, we're not racist. We completely accept black people. We accept black people that have come over to our side.
Yeah.
We haven't gone over to their side, right? Our expectation, you know, the one of the legacies of apartheid in this country is that this country is dominated by a white culture. We're 8% of the population and declining. And but yet the white culture dominates.
Oh God, I need to breed. Sorry. I just had that thought. Duncan, are you keen to breed with me?
You know, the bloodline must continue.
come on, Duncan. You're not going to. Well, maybe you do get offers like that all the time. I don't know. I don't.
Dunk, are you in?
I'm in, Lorraine. Yeah. You know, for the betterment of our country.
Oh, so can you put the flag over my face and fuck for the country?
I will. Stay for the country.
On that note, let's take a little bit of a break, and we will be back in a few minutes. We're going to listen to a song. What are we going to listen to, Dunk?
You know what, Lorraine, because we're talking about this, I thought we should appreciate the African culture a bit more.
Yes, so man, go, baby, give me one.
What I'm thinking is that we'll never go wrong with a good old Kwaito song.
Go for it. Pronounce it, my bad. Great song, Duncan. you were bouncing around, you're like a mental person.
I just want you to all know that Lorraine and Duncan were actually procreating to that song.
Yes, so there we go.
You looked rather uncomfortable throughout the whole song, Lorraine.
Oh, bullshit, Duncan. You're such crap, man. Why would I be uncomfortable?
I don't know. It's,
listen, I used to do that. What's that dance that you dance with the boots, the rubber boot dance? I used to do that at school.
It's not a black thing.
And it's why? It was a Zulu thing. Wasn't it when you did those dances?
It was a minor thing. That's what the miners did in the mine. Not because it wasn't a black thing, Lauren.
There we go. You know what? Somebody teaches me something every day, Duncan.
That's true.
And there's a friend of mine that says one thing for sure. Every day is a?
Learning day.
No. Well, same thing. School day.
Oh, okay.
So every day I learn something new. I didn't realize it was from the miners. I thought, you know what? And those Zulu guys wear... The chair's broken.
No, it's not. Your leg's just heavy.
Okay. And those the things that the Zulus wear around their
Ankles?
Yeah. Is your leg supposed to be in like
Duncan's
I'm
leg.
I was wondering what exactly.
Dunk?
Kind of a show of my own.
Laughter therapy with Lorraine Maisel, huh? Bless her soul. So let's go back to Believe. And let's go back to a WeChat person that has just said.
A WeChat person.
White people of today must pay for their forefathers' evils. How can they do that? They can each adopt a black family. So as a white privileged person, I have an adopted black child who's now 28.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Right? Mm. He's been in my life for 24 years because I thought we met when he was 2 or 18 months. And yeah, I managed to help him get an education and help him build his life. So maybe I'm not one of those white privileged people.
Hallelujah.
That was 24 years ago, Duncan. That was before it was cool to have a black family as an adoption. Then, sorry, I'm going to carry on reading. And then, guys, be honest. What's your reaction when you see white beggar versus a black beggar? Mike? Let's hear what you think.
Well, I think that these conversations are amazing. I mean, this is exactly my point, right? And that's a credit to this show because we open up this sort of dialogue. And this is great because this dialogue's not aggressive. It might be controversial. But the point is that we're opening up those discussions and people are feeling safe to do so. And I think that is...
Well, that's
so
what Cliff
important.
Central
and
is all about.
And I don't know the answer.
That's what Cliff Central is all about. There aren't any answers, Mike. I don't think there's an answer to life in general.
Exactly.
But yes, there are people people that are able to just say what they feel.
Yeah.
And say it without having to have any
fear of reprisal.
Yes, and there's no condition. It's completely unconditional. It's about this is what I'm saying, and this is how I'm saying it, and this is how I feel as a human being. How you take it is your choice,
totally.
You know, completely and utterly. And, you know, seeing a white person on the street and seeing a black person on the street is, for me, very different. I was in Cape Town watching the mountain, driving to work, the privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there were these...
How many black people did you see there?
A lot.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm from Woodstock, eh? My office is in Woodstock, there's lots of black people in Woodstock. I'm not there from that side of the mountain where there's no black people, okay? Bless my soul. I like to hang out with the real people.
Do you walk around Cape Town looking for black people, Lorraine? Oh, there's a black. Oh, there's another black.
I told you, we're just a pigment of color. No, I definitely don't. Okay. I don't pick them out. I pick out hot men. You're hot. He's hot. Mark's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan's
who's hotter,
hot.
Though? I mean, who's hotter, Duncan or myself?
You know what, Mark? You and I go back a long time, but I got to be honest with you. Duncan's more my style. I'm not going to lie to
you. I know, I've got to. Duncan's a good-looking man.
I'm black hot, and Mike is white hot.
What happened to my date that you organized with the policeman?
So what we did in the last show we did, Lorraine, I hooked up Lorraine with a black police officer.
Who could,
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Who could.
And what were your requirements?
I can't remember. There was 5 requirements.
This is the first thing that Lorraine said to me when I was hooking her up with this guy. This is the first thing. He needs to know how to speak English.
Oh, bullshit! Duncan, you talk such crap!
He needs to have a job. I'm like, what? Would you say the same thing if I was hooking you up with a white folk?
Duncan, you are talking such garbage.
We do have the podcast, Lorraine. We could play it.
What were the other criteria?
No, the criteria was I wanted somebody intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted somebody with... I was intelligent. And I can't remember. There was 5. There was a big 5 that I chose. And I can't even remember what they were.
So English, I think it was job...
Bullshit!
I remember. I was so disappointed.
In physical criteria?
Because I know it doesn't have to be physical. He as long as he... And you know what? I have a conversation with somebody. That's what I want. I want to sit down and have an intellectual conversation with somebody. I don't want to be sitting there... Like, Duncan is quite sexy because of his brain and his mind. Not because of... I mean, he is good looking.
Oh, thanks, Lorraine.
He's got red pants on. You know me, the fashion is the fashion police.
It's actually maroon.
Sorry, maroon pant. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he would be the type of guy that I would definitely go for because I can sit down and I know if I'm going to go for dinner or something and we got to go and see a movie. We got to see a movie that's got some substance to it. Or we can go and see a movie that's going to laugh and we got to be able to do both. So, yeah. Duncan, you're such a liar and please play that podcast again.
Yeah, I definitely will.
You are going to see I Wanted Hot. I wanted a big penis. I wanted educated. Well, intelligent is not educated. You actually wrote them down. Remember, Dan?
That's why I can remember that specifically. The first 2 things you said were that.
No, you took such cuck. We're having an argument on air. This is hysterical.
Okay, sorry.
You know, this is hysterical. Maybe we should just actually just go. Are you still with your girlfriend?
Yeah, forever. I loves my girls.
Girls?
No, that's bind to education.
So, Michael, tell me a little bit about you as a person. Do you want to shag, first of all? Would you shag me?
Now?
Yes.
Duncan might have to leave the room, though.
Okay. Would we make a mess on the windows?
It's the whole 2-guy, 1-girl thing.
It doesn't work for you. Okay. So, have you got a girlfriend? Can we find you a girlfriend?
I don't, as it happens. And
why are you such a charming white man with a white shirt, bald, great teeth?
So can we find him a nice black girl?
What's your criteria?
Let's go.
3 criteria.
English?
3. No. definitely not the same. It's definitely not a big penis. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So female is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligence, humor, and chemistry.
Are you saying that's black people are not intelligent?
No, I'm definitely not.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
I'm definitely. Duncan's trying very hard to be controversial.
Completely controversial. So I want to say something that, what is chemistry, Mark?
That's one of those ethereal things that you can't really explain, right?
And we had that same discussion on Sunday. Like
chemistry.
Do you think that I've got chemistry?
You can't have chemistry all on your own, Lorraine.
No, chemistry is between 2 people.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, if you
clearly you didn't listen
to
anything I said.
No, but I mean, if you look at me, you go, actually, she's quite sexy.
No, what you should say is, do we have chemistry?
Do we gel?
Do we have chemistry?
You and I?
Yeah.
No, I think so, definitely.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what chemistry is. So
if I could take your brains and put them in a black body, That would be perfect for me.
So what you're saying is that you would only have sex with a black woman, is that right?
No, all I'm saying is that if I could take Lorraine's brains and put them in a black body, that's all I'm saying.
In a black body?
Well, yeah,
well diverted.
Ish, man, you're telling me not a black body.
Please, no black sense here, Lorraine. Please. Please.
You are the worst one with that. Don't give me that shit. You are throwing this at me, I can see. You are throwing this at me and it's not okay. Sorry, Law.
I'm so sorry, Law.
I will never do it again.
What did I do exactly? Mike, tell us more about Believe.
Oh, thanks,
brother.
Thanks. Yeah. Glad you brought it back to me.
Yeah.
So really, what I Believe is a new business. It's been going for a month now, and we I would call it a transformation agency. So we do in the BE space, we do BE advisory or consulting.
Mm-hmm.
We do transformation talks. We do cultural cohesion interventions in organizations. And then we have an investment fund as well, where we raise funding for BE transactions, which is another very exciting part of where BE is going and why I believe that the redress.
Believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Why you believe. You know what, Mike? I think what we need to do is I need to get you onto Gareth's show. In a couple of months' time, when you are up and running
we're up and running, but you know we are still young, but we certainly are up and running. And unfortunately, our website, which is www.beelive.co.za, if you land, there's a landing page there which says we're under transformation ourselves, our webpage, but it'll tell you what we do in a very very short note, but we're getting there, and the traction is amazing already. In the month that I've been in business, we are flying. It's absolutely amazing, and
that's
it's indicative
amazing.
Of
and it's,
what's
and
going on.
And it's great that you can
country.
Give back. Thank you, Mark, and thank you so much. If you want to tweet Mark, what is your Twitter, Mark?
It is Woody, WOODIE _ Mike. Woody for Mike Wood, which is my surname.
Which is your surname. Can I ask you how big your penis is now? No, joking. You can. I don't want to know.
You can.
I really don't want to know. At this particular point, we have to go. It's only a 45-minute show because Duncan has a 15-minute special coming up for you. So I'd like to say thank you to everybody for listening to the show, Laughter Therapy with Lorraine Maisel, and hopefully I'll be invited again. I didn't think I was going to be invited after the last time. So I'm pleased to be back, and it's good to be back at the Cliff Central thing. If you want to tweet me, it's on Lorraine Maisel, or Facebook me on Lorraine Maisel, or Instagram me on Lorraine Maisel. Otherwise, you can go to Woody_Mike, correct?
That's it.
Okay.
Woody.
Woody, as in W-O-O-D-I-E,
mm-hmm.
Not as in Y.
IE.
Right, guys, take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here, Mark.
This is CliffCentral.com.